The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome. You are joining We the People Radio. How do you like our new bumper music? I love it.
I think the them they were talking about was us.
Just want you to know, I just slid into my seat.
Elizabeth pulled an errand this morning.
I get the prize for being the last one seated.
I tell you, we couldn't both do that. Bob would have had a heart attack by now. We would have had no engineer.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You are listening.
You know, the joke's on you, Elizabeth, because Aaron was actually here like at 10 minutes till 8 this morning.
So I did.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I had a little accident this morning. I got up early.
Yeah, an accident.
Hey, so you're listening to We the People Radio.
Yeah, we're chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us.
That was like a lawnmower. I just pull the rope and she just says that.
This is like the first time Aaron's ever gotten here before, Elizabeth.
I know. I've got like my computer on. I've got my notebook. I've got
a
pen.
Determined.
I already spoke with our guest.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there we have it.
Speaking of guests, everything you need to know about today's guest is on the webpage at wethepeopleradio.us. If you've got an opinion, we're at 530-605-4567.
Just don't have that opinion 2 minutes before the end of the hour.
No.
Because we don't want your opinion then.
And our chat room is usually alive and well. So, hey, wow, we're down to the wire. It's a real nail-biter this election season.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got to put a plug out there.
Except for the fact that the left is freaking out. So I like
that.
Yeah,
they are.
That's
very entertaining. You know, the one thing that I just don't hear a lot about, especially at the local level, is how important it is for some of these boards and commissions to have a combination of government experience and private sector experience. So, for instance, our own Shasta County Board of Supervisors, if we really need to push for some private sector experience, and I'm just going to do a shameless personal plug for Bill Chappelle. Private sector experience, years and years of it, has been the beneficiary and the recipient of many government regulations, and he would be an excellent addition to that board.
Now, Bill is running for District 4 supervisor.
District 4, so if you're not familiar with District 4 is, it covers Shasta Lake City and parts of Redding around Costco and Walmart, that area, so Shasta View.
There you go.
Yeah.
I just moved into his district, too.
Very good.
The Costco
and,
district.
The Costco
and
district.
The Redding City Council, Gary Cadd.
I get to vote for him, too.
Yeah.
You should see my lawn. I have like a little tiny lawn.
You are so lucky.
It looks like a cemetery, except it's for politics.
I love these guys, but I can't vote for them.
I got a million signs. Yeah. It's really fun. I haven't had a front yard in ages.
Yeah.
So if this were Chicago, you could vote for them.
Yeah, that's
this true. But we don't play that way.
We need to get out more.
And anyway, so...
Okay, we have our guest on the line.
Oh,
we have,
all right.
We have limited...
I will be quiet.
No, I just get with the program. Actually, that's kind of fun. We have Congressman Steve Pierce on here. He is the chairman of the Western Caucus, and I'm going to let him tell you the salient facts of his life, as you would like to hear them. We have all the information, actually, is on the website. So if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, everything is there for you to follow. Website at the House is there, and from there you can link to the Western Caucus site. I don't think that's here on its own. Oh, there's all sorts of stuff, and all the links to border security, congressional issues, defense, economy, all those things are linked separately below. So wethepeopleradio.us, and we're not going to bore you with a million links during the program. It's all there for you. And Bob is trying to tell me something.
Oh, I was just going to say Congressman Pierce hails from New Mexico.
Yes, at first. Sorry, I forgot that part.
In fact, he's in the district that I used to live in all those years I spent in Deming. So, Congressman, if I were still in southern New Mexico, you would be my congressman.
Well, I would gladly do that. It's nice visiting with you all today. And by the way, I think you all are doing what our founding fathers imagined. You're beginning to bring the discussions about how government should work back to the people. I think for the last 30 to 50 years, we've been just electing people. We've been real busy with their lives, and we've been sending people to Washington and to Sacramento and Santa Fe. And you all will be our caretakers, and just do it right, and then we'll check in with you in 4 years or 6 years, whenever you're up for election. Obviously, that hasn't worked out so well. And what you're engaged in is simply making ourselves accountable, responsible individually for the way our government operates. We always want to blame someone else, but the truth is, that we just haven't been too engaged, and so you are re-engaging, and that's my message constantly to the people who complain about government. If you don't like it, then engage. Once you become aware, then you have a responsibility. It's that simple.
Exactly. And you guys, the way we, I think kind of the way we met you was through Commissioner Ronnie Reardon. We did a program with a few months back, and you guys put on a tree party there in New Mexico.
That's right. It was again activities all the way down to the county level. Keep in mind, our founding fathers wanted Washington to be very limited, and the closer you got to the people, then the more decisions were made. That way, you can influence. I do constitutional meetings in schools all the time, all the way from first grade to 12th grade, and so I said, why do you think that founding fathers wanted that? They just can't puzzle through why your local county commissioners should be more powerful than the Washington politicians. I said, how many of your parents have ever been to Washington in about, a tenth of the class? I said, that's it right there. It's hard to get to see the people in Washington. It's very easy to see your local county commissioners. They wanted it to be easy for the people to impact the government, and we've made it very difficult. So, again, this Otero County Commission said, appropriately, that we, the county, are not going to let the Forest Service, the U.S. Forest Service, burn down Cloudcroft, New Mexico. There's one road in, one road out. Our forest is just like all the others. Trees haven't been cut in 30 or 40 years, not a significant number. The Lincoln National Forest is 1 million acres, and they cut plots of 30 acres here and 50 acres there.
Wow.
So they're never going to get the trees thinned out, and so what's happening in the West is simply nature is taking its course. You get forests that are chock full of wood, and it becomes dry in the drought. Well, that's explosive, and then add to it that our Forest Service had a policy of letting the fire creep around and burn and achieve its management objectives. Tom Tidwell said, he's the head of the U.S. Forest Service, said that we're simply trying to reintroduce fire into the wild. And I said, well, you know, that's fine. You know, looking at the 255 houses that burned in Ruidoso, I said, is this what you had in mind? Well, you know, there are going to be things. And I said, no, you've got to clean the forest out. Then you can let fire do its work. But we've got an abnormal forest. Well, the local county commission, Ronnie Reardon, said, if the Forest Service doesn't start cutting trees around Cloudcroft, we will. The Forest Service said, no, you won't. And we have a state law, a constitution in the state that allows for that county to actually take over those objectives. The tree party was us saying, on a certain day, we're going to go cut trees in the national forest. We want the conflict. We want the discussion among the American people. Can a local county stop the U.S. Forest Service from burning down its local communities? We saw the Wallow Fire just burn through and burn down areas in Arizona, and it was following that the local county commission stood up. I had explained to them that eventually they'll threaten to arrest us all, so you should let me make the first cut. If they won't make news if they arrest Ronnie Reardon, commissioner. It might make news if they arrest Steve Pierce, the U.S. congressman from the area. So sure enough, the U.S. attorney, 4 days before the tree party, said we're going to arrest everyone. And our local DA said, our local sheriff said, sorry, but you all don't have authority. Any federal official that comes in, we'll arrest them for harassment of local individuals. You don't have authority in my jurisdiction. The local DA said, and I will prosecute on behalf of the sheriff's arrest. And so we stood there about 12, 14 hours, and finally the federal government blinked and said, okay, go ahead and do this demonstration project. So it's those sorts of questions that your program is, I think, is tending to to encourage those discussions. Should we sit by and let the federal government do everything they say is right when it's killing our jobs, it's killing our education systems? Our government is not solving the problems that face us as people. And so what are we, the people, then called to do? That's basically it.
Well, you know, it's kind of like looking at a food pyramid. You know, you've got at the top of the pyramid, you have the items that are most important to your diet, and at the bottom, you have the things that are the least important. And the original concept about different levels of government was that the federal government was on the bottom of the pyramid, and the people were at the top. They were supposed to be more of an ancillary.
There were supposed to be more of us than there are of them, but it feels a little bit... It feels just a tiny bit lopsided at the moment. Hey, you know, in the interest of staying on track here, how about we take our break as scheduled? We're going to come back with Congressman Steve Pierce. We're going to talk about natural resources. He's got a ton of information for us from the Western Caucus. So we'll be back with We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
Now take this, baby.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Welcome back to We the People Radio with your guests.
Well, it is Halloween.
Halloween.
See, that was,
and we are
that
scary.
That was sort of unintentional. Your host, Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin. And we are speaking about all things having to do with natural resources and the tree party in New Mexico. So, Congressman, thanks for joining us. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you very much. In Congress, I'm the chairman of the Western Caucus. That's the caucus is just a group of people with similar values on an issue. And the West has been badly treated by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
If you look on my particular webpage, somewhere in there where it's talking about public land, you'll see a map of the United States, and then the portion owned by the federal government is then depicted in red in those states. So you can see as you approach New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, everything west of those states, it's just a north-south line. Now, tremendous amounts of land are owned by the federal government. That began to originate in and around the time of Teddy Roosevelt, who had the vision of great national parks and these large swaths of national forest. But the government, by the charter of each state, was supposed to take lands, it would use what it needed, and then give it back. Well, it gave it back up through Texas and Oklahoma, gave it back in North Dakota. So right now you see the great oil play in North Dakota. That's because it's mostly private lands. We here in New Mexico, with public lands, with federal government owning the land, have more difficulty producing oil and gas, and so North Dakota has a booming economy. We have an economy that's fairly strong, but the differentiation is on the ownership of public land.
And Congressman, real quickly, how is it that North Dakota was able to keep the federal government from gaining ownership?
They became a state before those policies in Washington began to change. Each of the state charters said that the government would give the land back. In some of the states, Florida had to fight really hard to get its land back way back when it was made a state. But in the West, we very rarely raised the issue, and so now then some states are as much as 80% owned by the federal government. Well, that means you've got less land available for productive private enterprises, and so the tax base suffers. We have fewer job opportunities. But then the federal government controls the resources, so the problem arose because we, the states, didn't lift our voices and say, give us our land back. Utah has recently passed, just this year, passed a law both houses, House, Senate, and then signed by the governor that said we're going to take our land back. Utah, I think, is in the 80% range of federal ownership. They don't intend to take over the national forest. They don't intend to take over the national parks. I think we all as Americans agree that those are very special to us as a country. But these large swaths of land that are just owned by the BLM were supposed to be returned but never have been. Those could drastically affect the local budgets. So just one instance back in Otero County in New Mexico, they did a study that said if we just had the BLM land, not the National Forest, nothing else, just the BLM, we, on the grazing, at going government rates, they would make $2 million a year additional for their county budgets. $2 million to a rural county is a huge amount.
Sure.
And you can see where that land is not taxed, so the tax base for education is decreased, but also then the ability for counties to operate is decreased as that government ownership of land increases.
Well, And what stops, besides, you know, your obvious political imbalances, that's a kind way of saying California, we are the original political imbalance, I think. Besides that, what stops states from doing that?
It was just citizens not exercising their full rights. The states in the West were very sparsely populated. There weren't enough voices to raise. I don't know why the House members and Senate members didn't raise the question, give us our lands back. But some of the states through history had to file lawsuits against the government, and that's where Utah is headed. Their entire bill was written in order to take this issue to the Supreme Court. The West, again, is starved for jobs, for revenues to local governments, and it's a lot coming from this idea of ownership of land. So it's a huge issue for all of us. But then the management of the lands in its jurisdiction, the federal government's jurisdiction, is a great question. So we began a stir after the Tree Party, and we were saying we're going to start cutting trees because you, the government, are going to let this town of Cloudcroft burn down. Well, it was instead Ruidoso, about 40 miles away, that burned 255 houses this summer. So we started a vigorous discussion about mismanagement of the National Forest, and the Forest Service was screaming, foul, you can't talk about us while a fire is going on. And I said, I'm talking to you while you're burning down houses in my jurisdiction. And so a huge national conversation started. Retired Forest Service officials around the nation began to contact us saying, you're right, stay on it. We've never heard anybody fighting the Forest Services publicly. Stay with it, because we retirees from the U.S. Forest Service used to know what we did to manage the forest, but they're no longer doing it. Special interests are have been invoked, and they're going to burn down our forest, and they're going to make our environment far less safe. They're burning down the habitat for animals. They're burning up endangered species. And there, the retirees were saying that the U.S. Forest Service was drastically wrong in its policies. So we began this full discussion, and then we moved it out into the Western Caucus. Many of the other states and the representatives in Congress began to speak up about the management of the forest in their districts. And so, again, it's up to us, the people, to push back against the government. The government will always take more power. That's the reason our Constitution limited the power, Article 1, Section 8. They were very definitive. You get these powers, Article 1, Section 9, but you can't do these things. But for that contract, our Constitution, to be held in place, we, the people, have to speak up. And so that basically is what's going on around the country right now.
Now, Congressman, what are you, as a congressperson in Washington, feeling from the people out there? I don't think that it's any secret that we, the people, have risen up in the last 2 to 3 years, and I think that we've made some pretty incredible progress. But as a representative, what are you feeling from the people?
Well, I'm feeling that people of both parties are ready to come together to fix the problem. They just don't know where to go. I think it's incumbent on people like me and like you to inform ourselves so that we can lead the discussions. We want to lead toward truth, not toward our particular political agenda. And the truth is that our government is mismanaging. Another truth is that we will never solve it in Washington. So every speech I give now in my state, I'd start by saying, look, I know that we all wanted Washington to come in and take care of the government and to do these things, but Washington is self-interested. Every government is self-interested. I said, I can't fix it in Washington, so you have to march with me. So that Tree Party was the third major demonstration that we had in the last 2 years. People showing up, 600 people showed up in a community of, you know, 4,000 or 5,000. 600 people showed up for this tree cutting party. Earlier in the year, we had the Forest Service was closing 95% of the forest in the Gila, 2 million acres, 95% of the forest was going to be off limits because of road closures. And so the people began to clamor, do something in Washington. I said, I can't get it done in Washington. I can't get the votes, and we can't do it soon enough. I'll stand with you, and we'll march in the streets. So 800 people showed up there to demonstrate. The Forest Service responded about 6 to 8 months later by saying, which roads were causing our problems? When we, the people, began to stand up, then the forest, the agencies will listen. We had another major demonstration on an endangered species listing, the dune sagebrush lizard in southeast New Mexico where I live, would have shut the oil and gas industry down the same way the spotted owl shut the timber industry down. Timber, no one spoke up. California, no one spoke up about the San Joaquin Valley and that the Delta smelt that shut down 23,000 jobs in the San Joaquin Valley, made us start importing our vegetables from places where they use pesticides that are not legal here. That our food supply was then less dangerous. We had fewer jobs in California, and we began to see economic wreckage in the San Joaquin Valley. And so we spoke up about the lizard, and the government said, well, tell us what we can do. And I said, we should do both. We should have jobs and preserve the species. And we got 100% went on that. So my point is that we in Washington are feeling the pressure, but not many of the elected officials know how to respond. My response is, you, the people, have to stand up and voice your opinions in the street. And when you do that, Washington gets very nervous.
Well, and it's, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say, you know, and one thing that's happening where you are, you're willing to go and work with the people. It isn't like, okay, all you little people, you go sit down and, I mean, you know, because if we contact, like, in our state, you know, Barbara Boxer or Dianne Feinstein, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, pat you on your head and send you on your way, you know.
If you get that.
Yeah. Well, that letter comes much, much, much later, and sometimes not at all. But to go and work with the people at the level where, you know, where the problem is actually happening, that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Then local people should start leading from the bottom up.
Yep.
Washington will follow. You all have a very complex state. It's large.
It's a nice
scattered
way to put it.
Along a long coastline.
Diplomatic.
Very diverse populations. But most states are a little bit more cohesive. But local people standing up and saying, we're simply not going to take this any longer. We're not going to let the government do this. And I will tell you, both parties are ready to march in the street to fix things. They're just looking for leadership. And if your senators won't lead, then the people will take leadership from among you. And eventually, there will be senators elected who reflect that voice if we keep meeting. That's the reason that our founding fathers wanted that First Amendment, the freedom of speech, the freedom of media, freedom of church. They wanted us to be able to rabble-rouse and cause the changes to occur from among us. Not wait on Washington on bended knee. They were trying to get away from the bended knee. That's what they had seen in Europe, and we're going back to the bended knee. I just hear a desperate number of people saying, we're frightened of our government. I think it was Thomas Jefferson said, when we fear the government, there's tyranny. When the government fears us, there's liberty.
And
so I think that our founding fathers well understood that we are going to have to do these things that are controversial. They are, and I admit they are. But I think it's the only way we're going to get our liberty back.
Well, at the end of the day, the bureaucracy at your end is the same bureaucracy we face here, you know, and it's massive. They've turned it into just, I mean, the tallest, biggest, thickest wall you can, you know, the idea of it's like, which brick should we pull that'll make it fall? I mean, I think it's just going to be hell and lots of bricks.
And at the at the end of the day, people have to understand that an employer does not hire someone to fill a job position and then walk away and say, I'll check on you in 4 years. Freedom isn't free. We're the employers, yep. And we have the obligation as citizens of this country to pay attention to what our employees are doing.
And I know that you probably are at your break, but one more thing before we go. These massive bureaucracies, we've let them become anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've started using the people in the positions who are making the decisions. So I told Dan Ash, who made the decision about the lizard, I said, my friend, you're not going to be anonymous any longer. I said, I may even start a Facebook page telling people in my state
Good
that you're
idea.
The one killing their jobs. As we use their names, these big bureaucracies suddenly become they're no longer impenetrable. We pick out the one person responsible, and we use their name, and it's amazing how it opens up the chinks in the armor.
Yeah. There you
go. It's like using a laser.
I like it.
Focus it real hard. It'll push through. Hey, we're going to be right back with Congressman Steve Pierce. We're talking about natural resources and all those kinds of things in the western states. Hope you'll stick with us. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that be given away when we all live together. We're talking about together now. Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land.
Welcome back.
Just messing with us, aren't you, Bob?
We are with Congressman Steve Pierce, one of the heroes of the Tree Party, congressman for the state of New Mexico. Hey, Congressman, we were talking off air about the fact that you actually contacted us to talk about this issue on our local radio show. And at the end of the day, it's all about fighting locally.
Yeah, but I mean, for people who kind of say, "Well, geez, what if we don't know our congressman or whatever?" Hey, I got a newsflash for you: the people in New Mexico figured out how to call us in California,
yeah.
and book a program date to get the word out. So, if your representative, especially after you contact them, is unwilling to be somewhat proactive personally,
give him Steve Pierce's number.
Find somebody new.
Maybe he can chat them up and teach them how to reach out to their constituents. So, Congressman Pierce, the Tree Party and all three of the citizen-led protests that you talked about, what kind of far-reaching effect has that had on some of the coalitions in the surrounding western states? I mean, has it had a big impact, especially to the sheriffs?
Well, let me back up just a little bit, and again, your listeners just have to understand their potential. This entire idea of standing up began with one guy over in the western part of the state. He went to this road closure meeting where the Forest Service is talking about the roads they're going to close, and it was supposed to be a public comment period. Well, there were just charts on the walls and maps and things, and they had brochures around, but nobody was doing anything. Finally, this guy, a local pastor, said, "When do we get to speak?" And I said, "Well, y'all are not going to get to speak. We're just showing you what we're going to do." At that moment, that pastor pulled a chair into the middle of the room and said, he stood up on the chair and said, "Hey, everybody, they're not going to let us speak." He said, "I'm going to start a public meeting right here, right now, and we're going to speak." And it shocked the Forest Service, but then he came to me and I said, "Oh, that is great," and that's the avenue I've been looking for. So then, in Utah, in Arizona, they've invited me over into there a couple of times. The Wallow Fire was going on, and of course it was burning in eastern Arizona up against our western border, and some of our forest in New Mexico burned in that same fire. And we began to talk the same thing. And so individual counties now are looking to stand up. Local sheriffs around, you can Google Oregon sheriffs, and I suspect you'll find the two sheriffs who have told the Forest Service, "You have no jurisdiction to arrest people in our county. Yes, it's U.S. Forest Service, but you all don't have you don't have law enforcement jurisdiction. I'm the highest law enforcement officer in this county, and I don't give you permission. So local sheriffs can absolutely start fighting back, and we're seeing that across the West. Other representatives, but other counties, I'm asked all the time to talk to local counties where they want to become active and get their jobs back. There used to be 23,000 jobs in the U.S. Forest Service in the timber industry in New Mexico. Those basically have all been killed because of these policies of the spotted owl. And so people are just frantic to get their lifestyles back. We'll protect our forest. We won't clear cut. We won't leave the slash laying around. But it's local people saying that we should have the jurisdiction over these resources. Their livelihood, it's the only way we can make a living out in these vast expanses of the West, and we're going to do it. And so it's that voice that is coming in conflict with Washington, and I'm on the side of the people. Washington always will act with special interest for special interest and in special interest. And so I'm trying to represent the people like my mom and dad. Dad was a sharecropper, went broke doing that when I was two, and moved over into the oil fields 60 miles west of where they lived. And I was raised on a roustabout salary, six kids, and we were on the lower end of the economic spectrum, but they were able to make a living because we had oil and gas jobs. There are people in Washington who want to shut down oil and gas all across the West and send those jobs overseas. So it's a big fight. It's all centered around resources, which we in the West are blessed with. But it's going to have to be us, the people, who take back the authority given to us by the Constitution.
Sure. Well, and in addition to us being blessed by the ability to use our natural resources in the West, it also benefits the entire country. And at this point, you destroy all the natural resource production on the West part of the United States, and, the whole country is going to be importing everything they need.
Well, and it's not even the production. I mean, if you look at it, when we have these catastrophic fires, we turn everything into a moonscape. Mm-hmm. So that's no good for anybody.
The forest will not be back. We had a major fire at Ruidoso also, but then across in the Silver City area, we had another 300,000-acre fire, the largest in our state's history. The Forest Service personnel said we won't see forest growing back in that area. It was so hot that it won't grow back for 100 years. How is that improving the environment? And so my point to the environmental groups who bring lawsuits to stop all of the logging, you're the ones that are ultimately responsible.
That's right.
I began to use their names in public and in op-eds, and they began to scream bloody murder. And then one of the groups said, hey, meet with us in the forest. We need to discuss. We don't think we've been obstructionists, and you're calling us that. And I said, I am. So again, you all could write those op-eds just as easily and use the names of the individuals in these
I think that's a great idea,
to bring lawsuits to stop the production of oil, stop the production of timber, whatever it is. But we just can't let them be anonymous and chip away at our economic freedoms anymore.
And Congressman, where are the land conservation groups fitting into all of this? I mean, I know, but I'd like to hear it from you.
Yeah, the environmental groups, they are on the side of killing jobs in favor of this view they have of protecting the environment. Well, their idea of protecting the environment was not to do logging at all. So for about 30 years, 40 years, we haven't logged. And as a result, our forests are chock full of timber. There's a drought, unprecedented drought throughout the West, and so it becomes explosively dry. So the land use groups who brought lawsuit on the Delta smelt, killed your jobs in the San Joaquin Valley, ended up making sure that we eat pesticide-laden food. I mean, and so I tell them, look, I'm not that different. I want the environment clean, too. I don't want to spoil the water, our soil, our air. But you guys are killing jobs, and I don't see where you're protecting the environment at all. So we've at least started very deep discussions on these issues with some of the environmental groups who have been bringing the lawsuits. But again, any single individual could cause that. Because when you begin to use their name publicly and show how they're hurting the environment, how they're hurting our jobs, they scream and run for cover because they depend upon public contributions. They don't want bad publicity, and so you have
a lot
of power.
Well, we have somebody on the chat room that had a question for you. He says, how did special interests take over the Forest Service, and how did courts come to award fees for pro bono suits? Now, I realize we only have like 15 minutes left, so
the
we're going to have to go Reader's Digest.
The fees come through an act called the Equal Access to Justice Act, the EAJA. And in that, if a group brings a lawsuit, they can bring 30 or 40 different things, and maybe the judge says no on 29 of the counts. But on one count, they always put something in. The Forest Service is always making mistakes. So they may make an administrative mistake in maybe advertising a public meeting or something like that, something innocuous. But if there's one issue out of the 30 that have been filed, then the judge is allowed to give them full compensation for all legal fees. So we allow these radical groups to come in and sue for the most radical things and reimburse them through the EAJA, Equal Access to Justice Act. The lawyers in those groups are being paid $750 an hour to bring suit against the government to stop, for instance, in the Delta Smelt, to stop the irrigation. We got to leave that water in the river for the Delta Smelt. Doesn't go to the landholders. That's how they shut that down. In the Forest Service, they say you can't cut these trees because we're going to bring lawsuit. So our government has funded, you the taxpayers, have funded these extraordinarily expensive lawsuits, and we have reimbursed them at $750 an hour. Well, there's not many lawyers making that much money, so what it does is it encourages these radical lawsuits. And so we the people, have allowed that to occur. I submitted an amendment a couple of years ago saying that we should stop the EAJA. That amendment couldn't even get past the House, which the Republicans own the House, because it's a complex issue, and the Eastern Republicans said, well, we think that's a good thing, equal access to justice, it sounds good. So they were the ones that voted with Democrats to strip that provision out. So again, we the people have to start speaking up in the West. That's the function of the Western Caucus, that we would voice our, it's just immoral that our forests are allowed to burn because of some law that allows the lawyers to get rich bringing suit to stop our forests from being logged.
Yeah, well, the thing that's always interesting to me is the environmental guys, when they sue the government, that costs us money tax-wise. Then they're reimbursed with our tax dollars to go beat up on us so that we can't earn a living.
So we're funding them to destroy our way of life.
We're funding them on both ends.
Yes, and so all of this plays back. The biggest problem facing us today is our debt and our deficit. You think about all of the people who are out of work that could be working in the timber industry or in the agriculture industry. Those people, if they went back to work in those jobs, number one, they would pay taxes. It would bring our revenues up, but they would stop receiving food stamps, unemployment, or whatever government assistance. So the cost of the government would go down as the numbers of, as the revenue increases. As a business owner, I can tell you that compressing cost and increasing revenue by the same act, that's the way you solve problems. And so our budget deficit is made worse by these people bringing suit to stop jobs in the West, and it would be improved by starting those jobs, and I think that we could balance those jobs against protection of the environment. It's that simple.
Yeah, it is. It is about balance. We don't have a lot of that. We're going to come right back with Congressman Steve Pierce, finish out the hour, and Bob's, I'm sure, got some fun music for us. So we'll see you in 2 minutes here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee. Smile is in the making. You gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many voices.
Here
us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in.
We're back. We're going to wrap up our first hour with Congressman Steve Pierce from New Mexico fighting the good fight with We the People.
And we wanted to thank him for his military service. That was the one thing I keep highlighting, and then my page refreshes and I keep forgetting to say it. But during Vietnam, Steve served as a combat pilot, flying over 518 hours of combat flight and 77 hours of combat support, awarded Distinguished Flying Cross and 2 Air Medals, as well as 7 other military medals for exceptional service awards.
And also started Veterans Council in the state of New Mexico.
Exactly. So thank you so much for your service. I realize that was kind of a little Steve Pierce commercial there at the end.
But you know what? That's big.
That's super important, and we didn't want to, for people who don't go to the website and don't learn that, that is pivotal. So thank you very much for that.
Truly a lifetime of service.
I think that each of us, each generation, is called to either stand for our freedom and liberty or not. That's the one thing we can't pass down. We can pass down our physical assets, our home, our bank accounts, but we can't pass freedom along. That has to be earned and sought after by each generation. And so I go into schools constantly talking about our Constitution, because I want to plant that seed that we the people really do have charge of our government, but we have to exercise that authority. The government wants to make us believe that we don't have the power. They want to just kind of shut us out and do like you said your senators do. But I just compel everyone always saying that cease complaining and start acting. It's
exactly
that simple.
Yeah.
Make
lay your
commitment.
Hands on it.
Hey, so I want to tell a little story when we're talking about environmental attorneys. Recently, someone in my family made a quick visit to the state of Colorado and met a young man who is an environmental attorney for the state of Colorado. And he deals with water issues as a state attorney. And he was bragging about the fact that as an environmental attorney for the state of Colorado who focuses on water issues, he has the ability and the right to go onto anybody's land at any time under the guise of inspecting the water and the condition and quality of the water on that private property. And he takes a fishing pole with him when he goes. So he was really excited about the fact that he could go fishing anywhere he wanted.
And we, the people, have allowed that to occur. So I think that that the pendulum is swinging very hard back to the other side. People always want proof that the pendulum is swinging. Scott Walker in Wisconsin, the governor up there, is making tremendous reforms. The union spent $70 million to beat him, but the reason Scott Walker won in that recall effort is that 40% of the union members voted for him while their money was spent against him. The other side is beginning to realize that we have been right on the issues and they're willing to listen, but we, each one of us, you, me, your listeners, have to be willing to talk. And if we talk and tell them our values, they're willing to come across and but they've never thought about conservative principles before. And so the value of every single one of us talking every day, not radical, all we have to do is talk about our freedoms, liberty, and how they come and how they are dissipating, then we're going to be fine.
Well, I think that there are still people, believe it or not, that are sitting on the sidelines, complaining. They think some magical hand's going to come out of the sky and just, sweep all this craziness off the table.
Evil exists where good people do nothing.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
And people, they just say, I can't do it, and I'm saying, wait. Joe the plumber had no status, no standing, but a year after that election, we brought him into our town, and Joe the plumber had been to 1,000 different places where they invited him and brought him to speak. He was just a guy there, a plumber, who showed up at a presidential press conference or debate, whatever it was, and suddenly the people are looking that desperately for leadership and vision and ideas. So each one of us can bring leadership to our families, to our local communities, Some will rise to a different level, Joe the Plumber. Some will be elected into office. But every one of us have a responsibility to speak, and that's how we take the power back, by the word.
Yep. And it's, you know, for the folks that haven't become active, you know, there's a tendency to think that our type of activism, the kind that wants to get job growth back and resource utilization back into the pipeline, that it's about going out and being angry like the environmentalists. We're just going to be the other side of the environmental movement. You're going to find that there's probably not a lot of appetite for that because we don't seem to work really well that way. Mm-hmm. You can get a lot done without being hateful and angry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A lot done. And you'll find people within the agencies. It's amazing how many folks are out there.
And the agencies are, you're bringing up a very good point. The agencies have been cowed by years of lawsuits. They want these reasoned voices from our side, but we don't give them the reasoned voices. So actually people down in the agencies are saying, thanks, keep your work up. We need the balance in our agency, and you're the only one speaking from outside, bringing that balance. So every single one of us, local realtors in Ruidoso, had a big public meeting just complaining about the management policies. And nationwide, they changed the policy after the realtors called together a local protest march. And so the government is listening. We just have to speak. And, yes, we should speak respectfully but firmly, and we will actually take this government back the way that we should.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, even though a lot of the, you know, a lot of these icky people have risen to the positions of power within the agencies, a lot of the boots on the ground don't agree.
They do not agree.
Yeah, and they won't always say, but they don't agree.
Yeah.
They have to live. I mean, you know, think about it. I was speaking with a guy in an agency last week, and he said, he looked right at me and he goes, people hate us. People just hate us.
And who wants to be hated, really?
And I felt bad for him. I mean, he's actually a good guy, and they treat him as lousy as they treat the rest of us.
And you know what? If you actually spend any time at all talking to people at any type of a Tea Party event or a meeting or, you know, spend any time with one of these groups, you're going to find that a lot of the attendees of these Tea Party meetings came from government agencies. They've retired. You would be shocked.
That's true.
I
forgot about that.
Yeah, how many people that are part of the Tea Party came from the government?
Well, Congressman, what do you, speaking of that, here in our last couple minutes, what do you see as the prevailing sentiment back there about the Tea Party? I mean, we're 3,000 miles away. We get a lot of conflicting reports.
And we're in California, so we know how they think.
Yeah.
The Tea Party appeals to that piece of liberty on every single one of us, and so I've always thought the movement was much larger than the visible piece. The movement was the wave under the last election. In other words, the Tea Party, the last election was not that the Tea Party was a piece of it. It was that wave of people, the power underneath the water, that pushed the wave toward shore, and the Tea Party was just reflecting the sentiment of people that our government is out of control. It's spending too much money. We don't have the money. We're broke, and we need to discipline ourselves. And so that's a sentiment that is very live and alert. The Tea Party itself is going through some management problems nationwide, and you've got some fracturing and things. But the belief in the people is alive and well. And so when we voice the belief of the people, we're going to succeed. When we're trying to create opinions in people, then we're not going to succeed. So I sincerely believe that the Tea Party movement is alive in the hearts of people that want our freedoms and liberty and economic status back as a country.
Well, we are proud to stand with you and looking forward to hearing more from you. And as you speak with your colleagues, if they have a message they'd like to get out, we would love to hear from them.
And this won't end with this election in a few days.
Yeah,
the fight continues. We've got just as much work to do starting November 7th as we're doing right now.
Congressman Steve Pierce, thank you.
The Republicans have been equally inactive on getting government checked back. And so, yes, it continues for the next 20 to 40 years, I think. But I believe we're going to do it. And thanks again. You are
thank
great.
You.
Thank you so much. Anytime you reach out, we'd love to have you on again.
We'll do it again. Thanks.
Thank you, Congressman.
Have a nice day.
All righty, you too.
All right, and good luck on your re-election.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we'll be back with more of We the People here on KCNR. Shasta Redding got another guest coming up right after Fox News at the top of the hour.